You're in whatever. Where's the big Catholic
Oh, do we
places?
start?
I started it.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Oopsie.
Hello, welcome to Life's a Witch.
And
And
so
so are
are
you.
you.
You have your host, Mystic Dylan.
And I'm Ivy.
Hedge.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I'm supposed to say your last
Are you
name.
trying to dox me? Are
No.
you gonna tell them my address? Are you gonna tell them my mother's maiden
23402 62 Lane Court.
Yeah. That's, oh my, I've been doxed on the internet.
Oh.
Oh, I know
In
yours.
Sherwood Forest.
I know yours.
Yes.
And Brienne. Do not say Brienne's
You
address.
don't know mine because you still don't know our address here.
What are you talking about? I know your address. Brickin' Lane.
Are you doxing her? I'm gonna have to cut this out if you're
But
dox.
is doxing, isn't that a dog? A dox a
A
dog.
That that's a
A
dachshund.
dachshund is a dog. Doxing is what you do when you give out someone's personal information on the internet.
Okay, a dachshund is a wiener dog, you know, and
Yeah.
it's spelled German. Yeah, DAUSCHEN or something. UN? Yeah.
UNDRQSPY, because they have every letter in the alphabet in every
Yeah.
one of their words. Some
Did you
scraping.
hear that?
There's a little bit of
He got real close. It
scraping
was
from next
a
door.
okay. Well, welcome everyone. Getting back on
Wait, I
track.
didn't
No
introduce
way.
me.
No way.
I
No
didn't
way. This is not real. What's
That is
that
the air
noise?
compressor from our neighbors.
Great.
I don't know that.
I hate you.
We hate you.
Yes.
Sorry about the inconvenient noise.
Oh, we should probably.
We'll be back.
Well, bonjour. Bonjour.
Now that the air compressor has finished going, this is Brienne. Please take it away.
Hi, I'm Brienne. Dachshund.
Okay, so since no one has, since we're everyone has two names, so Ivy, you're Ivy Dachshund, and you're Brienne
You're just naming
Dachshund.
us Dachshund? Why
Yes.
Yeah.
are we family now?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
There we
Nice to
go.
meet
Nice to
you.
meet you
Yeah.
too. Yeah.
Long lost on
Right.
my second
Dachshund
cousin's
side.
removed. Yeah.
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 We reconnect
And
here
the thing is, I never
on
knew I
Life's a
was a
Witch.
half Dachshund because I always really, I thought the retriever side of me came out
Well, the
more.
blue-eyed gene is strong in our
Yeah.
family.
Are there blue-eyed dachshunds?
I don't know. I don't know shit about dogs.
I don't know.
Are,
I mean,
is this misogynistic that I made you both dogs?
Yeah, now it
yeah,
is. Now that you said
probably.
it.
Now,
Now that I've
yeah.
said it.
Yeah, now that
Yeah.
you said
We
it,
were going the
I'm gonna roll
German
with it.
route, but
Yeah.
now.
Well, so before you were Nazis.
So
this
all
episode.
Germans are Nazis.
No, I didn't
Okay.
say that.
This episode is about the Hierophant. About power structure and rulers. And what better way to start off an episode on the Hierophant than about just talking about Nazis?
And Brienne, Dachshund, if you would like to take away, would you like to define the Hierophant for us in the tower? In the tower
In the
card?
tower
In
card?
the
He's
tarot?
the guy jumping off.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So this is card number five.
Woo!
And the key words for the Hierophant is tradition, religion, study, convention, and spiritual search.
What? Oh,
Woohoo!
okay. And that really does tie into Nazism because there was a spiritual idea of what Nazis were.
Yes, and Hitler was very much, Hitler loved the occult.
Oh, he was an occultist.
Yes.
A real definition of an asshole hierophant.
Yeah, absolutely. And is it Hierophant, Hierophant, or Hierophant?
It's whatever you want it to be, baby.
Let's
Yeah, baby.
switch it up throughout the
We
podcast.
should.
Yes.
There's no way I won't.
So when we think of that, like I also know in some books, like I think it's the keys to the tarot. It also is a card of dogma,
Yes.
and I think I feel like throughout the podcast we have talked about social norms, and it's so interesting how that comes up in the tarot. You know, it's all about self-discovery, finding out what's up. But I do think when we get to the Hierophant, the Hierophant,
Hierophant.
the Hierophant, when we get to that card, this is when it's like, I feel like the fool is like freewheeling. Mm-hmm. He's doing his thing. You have the empress who's like, nurture, nurture, nurture. Mm-hmm. The emperor's like, build. But then I think the Hierophant is all about control.
Yeah. The fool says, please don't call me Mr. Hierophant. That's my dad.
Oh my god. Oh my god, please. Now I just feel like some like Netflix series. It's the tarot, but it's the fool's journey. I'd watch that.
Yes.
How Card Zero came to be.
Yeah. But no, and when I look at it, like, I always used to, you know, I've kind of restructured the Hierophant for me in a reading, mm-hmm. where it's like, this is someone who is wise and may try to offer you guidance.
Right.
But the more that I look at it, in that was my early readings.
Right.
Later in readings, I almost take it as a card, depending on where it lands, obviously, but I almost take it as a card of like, watch out for someone who's going to try to control your opinion, mm-hmm. or control your way of thinking. And I feel like that fits a lot today in our day and age of spirituality, mm-hmm. and religion and metaphysics. And I almost want to say, like, this might be the gatekeeper episode.
Ooh.
Yeah, and we were just talking about, you and I, Brianna, we're just talking about this the other day.
Gatekeeping?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And like cancel culture.
Oh, okay.
Because I think it goes both ways.
Well, what do you guys think about cancel culture? I know it's a hot topic.
Ooh, snap.
I have my
unpopular. Uh-oh. Are you ready? Are you ready, Brianna?
I'm not ready. I don't want to lose followers or listeners.
Here's what I have to say about cancel culture. It doesn't affect the people that it should. So it's not going to affect people that actually have a lot of money and actually wield a lot of power that are really hugely problematic. Cancel culture affects a lot of in community, especially I'm in a lot of really leftist spaces. Cancel culture more affects small creators who someone is kind of mad at.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Blue-eyed Becky who accidentally bought White Sage.
Oh, it's more than blue-eyed Becky. It's like the way it affects trans women in particular.
If you
follow someone like ContraPoints, you might have seen the way in which she was brutally destroyed on the internet, brutally canceled for something that didn't even happen. It's a spread of misinformation, and it's never going to affect people like, I don't know, who's up there lately. Army Hammer, who people are still thirsting after tons of rape allegations.
Okay, but like, all I'm going to say is, if you just wanted my pinky toe.
To eat?
Hey.
I'm so lost.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, it's because I kind of take a step back from all of this, and I mean, I'm a good generation older than you, Dylan, and Ivy, so I feel like...
I thought you were going to say, I'm a good Samaritan.
I am. What are you talking about? I totally am. I feel like... I don't want to say this without sounding so flippant, but it's kind of a hip thing to do, and it's not a problem my generation had, and I don't know if that is a problem in and of itself. I think people are less forgiving nowadays and forget that we're human, we're allowed to make mistakes, we're allowed to learn, we're allowed to course correct, and there's no space for that anymore because everybody is so quick to cancel everybody. And in some instances, absolutely, I get it, and I'm supportive of that. But if you just make a misstep and say something wrong, and people won't even accept an apology anymore. And I think that that is not okay.
I totally hear what you're saying. I do think there's historical ideas of cancel culture.
Yes.
I think cancel culture is the new word. But when we look at blacklisting, when we look at like the Red Scare, we have historical societal aspects of what cancel culture is now, exactly as it was. People being kicked out of their neighborhoods, people being fired from their jobs. Mm-hmm. And that's pre-internet, you know?
Sure.
We have historical examples of cancel culture pre-internet that were to essentially silence people, and that's what it is now, too. It's just taken a different form because of the different platform we have.
Well, yeah, now we have internet, so you can't really escape
it's always,
a Google.
Right, it's always been there. It's just something new. Like...
And I think within the confines of just for the podcast sake, in terms of like obviously there's the bigger cancel culture, and then there is like I think there is a lot of cancel culture. Well, it's happening everywhere, but within spirituality, it's getting a little extreme.
The misuse of the idea of what toxic is.
Yes. Yeah. And I think this is where I'm going to get some hate, but I did say it, like, if anyone attended our American Witch panel, there is a huge difference between cultural appropriation and cultural appreciation, you know? And I think that is something that a lot of people blur those lines, and I will say that in the spiritual gatekeepers, I mean, I know that there are some that, like, I am a firm believer that there are rules in spirituality in different religions, and I completely understand that, and I adhere to that, and I'm not saying that everything is a free-for-all for everyone. But when people go online and they search different hashtags, or they go through the process of literally going on someone's Instagram and blasting them and calling them out, that becomes a completely different thing, you know?
But, like, for what?
That, well, I think it can be anything. I think it can be,
They use the wrong word when doing a ceremony.
When doing a ceremony. Okay, like, if someone's like, okay, I'm not going to get into the big ones because that's going to be, like, attack. But I will say that there are somewhere, let's see. Okay, I'm going to use White Sage as an example. It is commonly misadvertised. Yeah. It has become a super popular thing. I mean, we just made a flyer in our shop, a sign that's like, before you buy White Sage, consider X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of White Sage. I think it smells like ass. but regardless, people like it. Now, there are the people like me who are like, you know what? This is, you know, it is really just popular in Native American ceremony. That's what it's used for. That's where you find it. It is regional to different aspects like Mexico and California, et cetera, et cetera. If you are outside of that, you probably should not use it. But then there are the people who will save the hashtag White Sage, and then they will go through everyone's profile who has ever purchased it. And if they do not fit the norm of who should buy White Sage, they attack them.
I know what you're saying, and I understand what you mean, but I also think a more concrete example would be necessary for us to actually form this argument. It's easier to find arguments about something when it comes down to cultural appropriation. We could be talking about, like, hairstyles, like, locking and that kind of thing.
But see, that is cultural appropriation.
That is, but then when we're thinking about, like, White Sage, I, on Twitter or on Instagram, when I see people respond to someone using White Sage, it's normally like, hey, please check this out. Like, you should understand this. Mm-hmm. It's normally, like, a pointer. I don't think many people actually get attacked that brutally for using White
on
Sage.
On Instagram.
Very big Instagrammers.
Yeah.
But then, when we're talking about platforming, how you use your platform, what your platform is for, and who you're reaching out to, your persona online becomes different. And people are more likely to attack someone with more followers. But when you attack someone with more followers, there's less repercussion for them.
Then I'll put myself on blast. Okay. I received a lot of, I think it was a week ago, I posted a spell that I did. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you saw it, but it was the bull heart.
No, I didn't see
it. No, she was like, she's like, no.
Yeah, I didn't see
but
it.
Okay, you saw it.
Yes.
Okay, so I did a spell, and this spell was used, I mean, it literally comes from an ancient papyrus.
Right.
It's called the Greco-Roman papyrus, for those of you who are interested.
Mm-hmm.
And it is literally a spell for, like, the idea is that it's sympathetic magic. So the concept of the spell work is that the person who is grieving and who has caused suffering, the person who caused that suffering is going to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So there is no white or black magic. We've said it on this podcast. I'll say it again. The concepts of magic, there's no color, colonization, making it black and white, all that good stuff. because it does not fit the trope of Wicca, and because it does not fit, while this doesn't necessarily go into cultural appropriation, this is definitely gatekeeping. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of slack. I'm evil. I'm satanic. This is, and I get it. You have your opinions. It's disgusting. It's this. It's that. Not all witchcraft is that. However, nothing in my post said that this is the only way.
Right.
Nothing in my posts said that this was going to cause someone death or harm or ill will. And nothing in my post said what my client went through.
Right.
You know? So when someone comes on a platform and they're starting spouting all these things like, this is wrong, this is that is gatekeeping. You know? Right. And I think one of the beauties of witchcraft is that, and I'm not going to say that there are no rules, but witchcraft, traditional witchcraft, comes from folklore as well as history. And that is how you build your practice, from the folkloric aspect and the historic aspect. And I think there are a lot of people who have this concept, thanks to books on Wicca, that witchcraft has to be X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And love your neighbor and threefold bullshit.
Right.
So, like, there's that gatekeeping. The other thing that I will say that I think is dead religions. So, yeah. Ancient Egyptian, okay? Right. I work with ancient Egyptian deities. That is not cultural appropriation. Mm-hmm. I've been attacked on social media for working with these deities because it's considered cultural appropriation.
Right.
Egypt is in North Africa. Mm-hmm. I've been there. I was there for 13 days on a dig and a scholarship. But the people who reside within Egypt do not have ancient Egyptian DNA. It's a known fact that that DNA has kind of
died out
because it was taken over by the Romans, or the Greeks, the Romans.
Right.
We have Muslims, Arabs. It has just gone through the ringer that DNA does not exist.
Well, I think with that kind of thing, there's also that, like, there's this want to be right that can happen in these groups that are searching for something to defend that they don't really know anything about. And when it comes down to something like the Egyptian pantheon, it's like, you have to also consider how similar it is to every other pantheon.
it's true.
And that's just how it is. Like, a lot of our pantheons are connected because we're human and we all look at the same stuff and we perceive in almost exactly the same way. They vary because of our weather, and that's kind of it.
Yeah. Well, and they were taken through so many. I mean, you have a temple of Isis in London.
But a lot of, especially white people, and I see more white people attacking people for this shit than anyone else. Other white people, and I was totally guilty of this as a teenager too, will attack people just to be right about stuff that no one else gives a crap about. And it's because they want to feel as though they're participating in some aspect of social reform. And it's like, girl, get off Twitter. How about that? Like,
or read a fucking book.
Right, read a fucking book and go to a fucking protest.
I just want to put in my two cents because I think I look at it completely different. But I also know that there are people like me out there that... it's just absurd. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. It's just absurd.
What aspect?
The aspect of not educating yourself, not stopping to think before you speak.
Yeah.
I'm a big proponent. They teach this in my daughter's school. Mm-hmm. Is it kind? Is it helpful? Is it necessary?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you speak about things.
Right.
I also think that there's bigger fish to fry, that you need to put action to your words.
Yeah.
And that it's just become this huge snowball effect that people are commenting and doing the cancel thing for the wrong reasons, to get noticed, to be part of the whole social media aspect. Mm-hmm. And I just don't... I think it's ridiculous. I don't subscribe to any of that. I think there's better ways to utilize your time. I think I also look at the psychological aspect of it. Why are these people doing this? why. I don't think they're doing any self-introspection to figure out why that they need, they feel the need to do this.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important aspect that people aren't even participating in self-discovery anymore, reflection, and just to look at the psychological aspects behind doing all of this stuff on social media.
I was just going to say, and I agree, and I think when it comes to spirituality specifically, like, okay, Katy Perry wearing a kimono and going full geisha, that I can see as cultural appropriation.
Katy Perry's done quite a bit.
Okay? A really connecting with a spiritual practice and going through the knowledge and studying and feeling this connection with a spiritual thing, I don't see that being wrong if you know your shit and you are honoring and acknowledging. Now, for example, I would never call myself a voodoo practitioner and take on Haitian voodoo without going through the steps of initiation or what is required.
You need to be invited into something.
Precisely. But if I have a mentor, or like Queen Ko is a huge proponent of saying, you know, like, while you can take, make it your own, but you can take the spells and tools of voodoo.
You can
voodoo,
practice voodoo. You can practice and hoodoo conjure, but and you conjure. Aren't going to use my ancestors in your work.
Precisely. I think those are two different things. And I think the people who are saying you can't work with Egyptian pantheons because you're not Egyptian, so now you can't work with Greek pantheon. Like, I mean, so many of these, actually, so many of these traditions would be dead if it wasn't for neo-paganism.
Well, and that's where, what I think too, is where a lot of this comes from, like what you were saying earlier about like the psychology behind it. It comes from a feeling of powerlessness. If we consider a lot of the people who spend a majority of their time in these online spaces, not necessarily absorbing any actual information, but sort of funneling themselves into this, like, this in-group of anger, is really what it is. Just so they have like what feels like a backbone in a way, even though it's not backed by anything, you know, it's not backed by any kind of education they've sought out. It's a feeling of powerlessness. A lot of these people are generally in positions in the U.S. where they're not in a position of wealth. They're trapped in some way. They're likely part, and let's face it, like as someone part of the LGBT community, a lot of the people that engage really heavily in this cancel culture without any education to back it up, and to actually hold people accountable in the right way, because that's the big part about it. When we're thinking about what cancel culture can do for people, it's provide accountability, which is what we'd want out of it. But when it's coming from a place of non-education, it's just to attack. And it's coming from this position of feeling powerless to larger forces. So the attack feels good and it feels like you're doing something. And in reality, you're probably not. You know, so you're just in an in-group that is an attack group, and that's sort of it.
The only problem with that, though, is that if it was on its own, like, I will tell you, like, I'll give you a story of how cancel culture does carry weight and perpetrates false mythology, okay? When I went to Egypt, my Zahi Hawass, who's literally, like, a well-known Egyptologist, he was there, and our teacher was telling us that a false narrative that has been done for generations, cancel culture, is that the reason why there are so many noses broken off of Egyptian statues is to hide the African descent or hide the African characteristics. No. It's because noses are fragile.
it's the easiest part to knock off
statue. And if you went to Greece or Rome, it was the genitalia that was knocked off.
That was on purpose. Those are harder to knock off.
No. Vatican was
they
like...
They used marble.
Okay,
too.
I was told, when I went to Rome, I was told that under the Vatican, there are crates of penis.
Ooh.
The dick crates. But the thing about that is that it's like that was purposeful. It's just fragile. And the Egyptians were, you know, I'm not going to say they were discreet, but they didn't have full, like, you know, not boners.
Not a lot of wings.
Yeah, not a lot of wings.
A little more coverage on the wing.
Yes, a little more coverage on the wing, except for certain hieroglyphic relics.
Yeah, well.
So can I ask a question to kind of bring it back to the Hierophant and organized religion?
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
So who canceled Jesus?
Jesus was canceled by the Romans.
Okay.
Jesus. We can get into it.
I mean, we can get into it.
Jesus was canceled.
So, but I'm using the
Jesus
appropriate
was canceled
term.
By people that have money.
Okay.
And those people at the time were also the Romans, and they connected with some of the higher-ups.
Okay, this is where it's gonna... Okay, how do I say this without it sounding...
Are you trying not to be anti-Semitic?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well...
I'm trying very
biblically
hard.
Biblically speaking, the Romans and the Jewish leaders, like, who were making... And this is where the anti-Semitic, like, monetary thing comes from in Christianity. The Jewish leaders who had the most money were more interested in killing Jesus, and part of that was because of the way he handled the people being merchants in temples.
Yes.
He didn't want that to happen, and the temples got a cut of that.
Correct.
So
I don't think the Romans really gave a fuck.
No,
the Romans did
give a fuck, because he was forming groups of people that were... Jesus was essentially anti-capitalist, and the Roman state was one of the first capitalist states we had. And to maintain that, the Romans wanted to make sure that he was dead, and he was a leader of an organized group.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, but see, like, I can understand that part. But when you look at, like, I think not historically, but, like, there are also records that report that the Romans really, like, the Hebrew leaders were the ones that was like, this dude needs to die.
Mm-hmm.
The Romans were like, let's just lash him and, like, put him out to pasture. There was no sign off of him being crucified.
Well, the Romans didn't
like
kill
Pontius Pilate
people.
Washed his
the
hands.
The Romans didn't kill people; they just let them die after they maimed them. That was like the Romans didn't necessarily always send death orders.
Didn't throw Christians.
Right.
He just threw Christians in the Colosseum. He didn't release
he didn't
the lions.
Kill them.
The
and
lions
if that's
killed
not
them.
A Roman thing. I don't know what it is. It's a well. We didn't actually kill them. We just sent them to die. People die on their own.
We okay. just, yeah.
That's, I was just trying
yeah.
to bring it kind
right.
of back full
yeah.
circle
well,
to talk
but,
about spirituality and organized religion.
Yes,
and,
but talking about organized religion, I will say, like, bringing it back past the cancel culture, one of the things that I will say in regards to the Hierophant is that when you look at Christianity specifically, there is a huge one, and we talked about this last time, like, it's not Passion of Christ ends, there are credits, and everyone's a fucking Christian.
Right.
That's not how it happened. The paganism and Judaism and Christianity was actually like
a little cult
that was like private, and like there were, you know, it was mostly just Judaism and paganism.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you get into the, you know, Christianity becomes the reigning religion because
mm-hmm.
Constantine was like, damn, it's so cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how
it's a good fucking deal.
I know. He's like, pay the priests in the pagan temples or villa in Capri. Pay the priests in the pagan temples or villa in Capri.
Villa in Capri won.
Villa in Capri. You know? So when that happens, this is when you kind of see the turn. And the thing that I think is so crazy is that when you look at the text, it's like there is so much misogyny in the Bible.
Oh, God.
And there's so much misogyny in a lot of that Abrahamic religion. And then we kind of see this turn and we see this control. And, you know, then we get in weird things because the promise that was made to Constantine, and this is just out of religion, this is just out of business.
Mm-hmm.
The promise that was made to Constantine was that God did not need a temple. That was the beauty.
Yeah, and he was like, that's great. I don't have anything to upkeep.
Yes. Awesome. He's like, I don't got to pay the priests.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to upkeep because let's be real, Roman deities are bougie as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, we don't need those marble gold-plated temples.
Yeah.
And the majority of Christian temples were actually repurposed Roman or pagan temples. So that's why, like, the Pantheon, any standing structure, and I learned this, any standing structure that you see today that is a pagan temple, the reason why it withstood the test of time was because it was taken over by a church. Mm-hmm. So when you see that, it was just such an easy transition and thing to do. But then we kind of see this forces, and then we see the way that they treat women. And then the issue, this is where it becomes dogmatic, is the idea that if you did anything for yourself, mm-hmm. not through God, this is where we get the witch, okay? If you heal yourself, if you do healing, if you do a working, if you do something outside of the norm, outside of what is ordained by the Bible or God, this is where we get witches and sorcerers and all these things. If you do medicine and it's not through God or a priest or whatever,
right.
you are a witch.
A turn away from the neutral to positive idea of the shaman and into the very negative idea of the witch or... warlock. and that's how we also got the Crusades.
Woohoo! The Crusades. Oh my gosh, do you wanna invite Catholicism into the podcast?
Maybe. Okay, hold on.
We would like to introduce our next guest. She comes from a long line. Here we go, Catholicism.
Hey bitches, it's me. So you might have seen me before. You might have seen me, like, on TV, or, like, maybe you pass by one of my many houses once in a while, and that's right, I've got places, like, everywhere. But hi, yeah, like, it's me, Catholicism, and here I am. Did you have any questions for me today?
Yeah.
Yes, and...
you know, do you have a favorite time?
Oh my god. I mean... I have a ton of favorite times. The Crusades. Sometimes the Renaissance period, but also sometimes not, because I really didn't like that everyone sort of got along, especially in Spain during that time. I really didn't appreciate how many Muslims and Jewish people were also there with the Catholic. I'm just saying. Okay. I sort of like the Holy Roman Empire, even though we didn't really have a lot to do with each other. I just sort of thought it was cute. And their destruction was really nice also for me financially.
There we go. Wow. Do you have any, Catholicism, do you have any words of wisdom?
Oh, yeah. If it doesn't work, just kill it.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm at, again, you know, I'm over here. I'm lost. I am the one with a big zero understanding of any of this stuff.
Catholics just killed a ton of people. I would say the first Holocaust was probably something Catholics did.
Okay. Well, and
it's the Crusades.
So yes, that's Crusades, like control. But,
mm-hmm. Yes.
That's organized religion. They're using mm-hmm. that in the spiritual yeah. sense that you yeah. need to get.
And I was going to say a fun fact. It's not mm-hmm. a fun fact, but mm-hmm. morbid fact. Like, Holocaust, while now in today's day refers to mm-hmm. you know
the Holocaust.
Yeah, we think Holocaust was a mass burning or execution.
Yeah, there have been
many Holocausts.
We sometimes fail to allow room for how many Holocausts there have been, especially since a majority of them have been non-white. We don't often see the non-white death tolls. That have been caused.
Mm-hmm. So, well, actually, do you want to, like, because I look at Brienne, like, you know, there's a lot about Catholicism and Christianity and stuff that she does not know. So I just love it. I mean, I don't love it, but it's very interesting.
No, and I ask you guys questions all the time because I'm totally confounded about how these ideas come together and the reasoning behind them.
Money.
The lack of common sense.
Yeah, money. It's money. So
yes.
Basically, anything that happens in America today that you're like, what the fuck is going on? And it has something to do with money. It's probably happened before, also with the Catholic Church, also entirely to do with money. Because just like the U.S., the Catholic Church at some point was also basically a big oil company.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
Mm-hmm. And I do want to talk, like, okay, so this is, oh, I guess this goes, I, like, cults. Cults. Okay? Let's talk about cults and control and all these things. And before the episode ends, I do want to...
I love cults.
...go with the eye-opening. We have something saved for this specific episode. Don't forget it, Brianne. Don't forget
believe
it.
Believe me, nobody lets me forget it.
I'm excited to hear it.
Oh, this is the episode. But, so like... Recently, so March 1st was the anniversary of the beginning of the Salem Witch Trials.
Yes.
And I always read on it, and I know a lot about it, and it's just something that's so... I'm dumbfounded that it happened. And just a general idea, 1692, Salem, these girls are producing fits, they're not waking, whatever. The Puritan culture, Puritan society, essentially... witchcraft. And what ends up happening, going back to what you were saying, Ivy, about money, is that when you look at the people that are accused, okay, they are women with power, okay, so women who ran their own businesses that were single, okay, that had their own income, making their own wage, people with property and land, to expand land, homeless, because Puritans want to be pure, so they're going to eradicate anything that is below their station, people that are homely, people that, you know, whatever it was. Absolutely. Absolutely. The elderly, too. I mean, there's a huge distinction, like, the, like towards the end, a lot of the people who were executed were over the age of 45. So you have really young people, then you have old people, and then there's just this middle, and there's a misconception that the majority of people, like... there were women that were accused, but there were men accused as well.
Yeah.
And there were children accused. So it really turns into, when you look at the Crusades, when you look at the Salem witch trials, when you look at the, even in, like, people forget that we had witch trials in Ireland and Scotland and Spain. And, I mean, there are so many. These are, when you look at these people, it is the poor. It is the those with land that were growing, and then it's women. And I think a lot of it, like, in Puritan society, I would say I think a lot of it had to do with, like, lust, too. It's like, oh, you're not gonna fuck me?
That's a problem.
You're a fucking witch. Yeah.
You must... There's you something turned me wrong down with you.
Whoa!
You're not gonna bang me? That's what? A problem.
Or it could be, I'm a Puritan, I can't have these urges.
Go Frollo.
You're a witch. Yes! Well, yes! Yeah. That's what I think about it.
Hunchback in the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Oh, bad guy. Okay, yes.
He wants to fuck the lady, and he gets mad at
Esmeralda.
That's a lot of stories, plots.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. So he, and honestly, like, that novel is like, when you read the novel, I'm surprised that Disney
movie happened.
I feel
like I've said this before about the Bible. All these dudes that are up on the hill writing these stories, they just wanted to get...
They want to get their...
They want to get off.
Some slob on the knob.
Well, think and think about it. Think about it. Like Lilith, okay?
Yeah.
Adam wants to, like, you know, lay on top of her. She's like, no, bitch. I'm going to do cowgirl. And if you have a problem with that, you know, go fuck yourself. And he's like, get out of my garden. And she becomes a mother of demons. You know? Like, let's see. Like, I mean, I feel like the Queen of Sheba. I mean, there's so many women in the Bible that are just, like, you're either...
Villainized. Villainized for either not having sex with someone or for having sex with someone.
Yeah.
Or for having sex with someone, but not the person that you should be having sex with.
Yes. And then it's like, you know, I was also thinking about, like, sexual liberation. They talk about sexual liberation all the time, and they're like, she's sexually liberate. And I was like, I don't know that, like, I really don't think that, like, especially in like, Puritan society, that this woman would really be defined enough to be like, titties out!
Right, like,
you know?
Liberation.
I think she wore lace. I think she maybe tried to make herself look good.
Right.
And that caused consternation.
Right. Like, the idea of what sexual liberation is, a personal thing.
Yes.
And it can be affected by the society you're in. You don't get to decide if someone else is sexually liberated. That is entirely up to them. We cannot define if someone from the past was technically sexually liberated unless we have clear definition of them saying they were.
Right.
Because let's, like, most women, period, especially in the U.S., especially in puritanical societies, weren't.
No.
Like, there's no way to say they were.
They're just projecting.
They had four colors. Mm-hmm. It was gray, brown, black, and green, I believe. That was it. Those were the colors that you could wear. Mm-hmm. Then you have stories of, like, Bridget Bishop. She's one of the first women executed in Salem. Mm-hmm. And it was because she wore a red bodice. Mm-hmm. And clearly that means, you know,
yeah, she's the skanky, devil, she
slutty witch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? The other thing, too, is that in a lot of Puritan societies within Massachusetts, mm-hmm. you couldn't wear lace. You couldn't have any embellishments. You couldn't show... You, like, petticoats had to be a certain length. Things like that. So it's like, if you did anything... The way that I kind of think about it is, like, you know when you watch The Craft and they're all wearing the school mm-hmm. uniforms?
Yeah.
But Nancy is like, I'm gonna wear a leather jacket. It's like, you couldn't have any indication of being an individual person.
Yeah.
And if you were against, because the idea was mm-hmm. to be pure and to be, like, one and the same right. and, like, whatever.
You are an embodiment of yeah. God, but you also can't be an embodiment of God, but you have to act like you are.
I mean, Salem literally meant, like, it was a English... an Anglicanized version of Shalom,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So I think when we go to pure and when we go to, well, I mean, I think when we go to religion, like Christianity today and Catholicism today is not the, well, actually someone even told me that Catholicism in the US is nothing like Catholicism
oh, it's so different.
In Europe or other places.
It's still all for money. So the similarity is the similarity between the U.S. and everywhere else with Catholicism is that it is still for money, and if you think it's not, why are you paying tithings?
Do you want to explain to Brianna what
that
is?
No, I know what tithing is. When you pass the little basket and you put some money in there.
It's beyond that. You can put money in your little basket. I think that's fine for any group.
No,
you're
it's
helping 10%.
Group isn't it a certain
it's
percentage?
It's a certain percentage of your income.
Yeah.
Who said that?
That's
fucking
Mormons,
ridiculous.
The Catholics.
I know the Mormons do that.
Scientology.
LDS, but...
Some temples. It depends.
Okay, but Scientology is a cult. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but so is any orthodoxy. You know, orthodoxies are
Wait,
cults.
But I don't... I did,
oh. If you're paying part of your income to a church you never get to see all of, you are
Where does it say
cult.
In the Bible you need to give me 10%?
It doesn't, but no one reads the fucking Bible.
That's right.
So that's why I just... Oh, my God.
You're just in a cult. You get excommunicated not only from
yes.
the
this
church,
is why
but your community.
I don't...
Your family.
No,
yeah.
anything, because I'm asking,
yeah.
like... To me, these seem like common sense questions when I mm-hmm. when I ask you...
They are.
About this, and I... But I don't understand why no one else... ask these questions that are in...
Because when you ask these questions, you get removed from everyone you know. If you're really in that deep, if you're in a group of people, and I've known people who have been removed from their family, no longer get to speak with them, regardless of how good their relationship with that individual was, a church, a person above them, gets to decide whether or not they get to speak to a family member.
That's insane.
And it's because of them asking questions. It's because of them deviating from the flock. It's fucked up. And that's being in a cult.
That makes me mm-hmm. so sad.
It's
so angry.
It's horrifying.
Yeah. Isn't the Amish like that too? Like, you have Rumspringer?
It depends on the group. There are actually Amish groups who are incredibly wonderful people. They give you a good portion of free will. And then there are Amish groups that will absolutely kick you out at the drop of a hat, will absolutely kick you out for being deviant. And it's the same thing with Christian groups. You're not going to run into Christian people all the time who are kicked out or, like, who have grown up Christian, who have been, like, completely removed from their family. But you still will. You know, like, the cultishness of it comes from your in-group. Where are you? Who are you with? Who's surrounding
the
you?
The pastors or priests mm-hmm. or...
Who's running
it? Because they're mm-hmm. speaking... God is speaking
yes,
to them.
Yeah.
And so that is like the Hierophant,
yes.
right? So when you get that card, to me, it's like you would go when you go to confession, mm-hmm. if you're Catholic, or mm-hmm. you need to connect with your spirituality, and then that is from somebody higher mm-hmm. than you. Yeah. That's right. How I interpret that card.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like, as I said at the beginning, it hits me in different ways, and obviously I think it has to do with the situation, but I feel like... I hate to say, like, I've been awoken or now there's a new negative connotation about it. But, like, as I said, for the longest time, I would read it as, like, this is a father mm-hmm. figure. You need to reach out to, whether it be male mm-hmm. or female, you need to, like, ask for help, ask for assistance. Mm-hmm. But I will say, in the past 6 months of reading and that card coming up, mm-hmm. the majority I see this, watch out for someone trying to control you. Mm-hmm. Watch out for someone trying to influence you into something that you don't want to do. And I think that there is a lot of stigma that is associated, not with that card, but just right. with that in context. And I do want to say, like, unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, but, like, it's not only Catholicism and these Abrahamic religions.
No, it's not.
It's in witchcraft.
Yeah.
I mean, covens, like, you know...
What were we talking about in the car? That starseed thing?
Yeah. Please.
I've been reading up on Palladian starships, baby. And it is a wild ride. Also, let's talk about racist. I'm sorry if you're very into it, but Palladians are... So the idea is...
Isn't that aliens?
Yes, but it's also your soul. Just like Scientology.
I feel like, yes, that this is some, like...
But, so Palladians... I did a quiz and apparently I'm a Palladian. Because you can find anything out through a quiz online. That there's so much to it. But in this book I'm reading, it's describing that Palladian starseeds are likely to be white. And I'm going to say this now. If you are part of a group where there is a definition around what your skin color is and where that puts you on any sort of playing field in your religion... It's a fucking problem. Like, it's an issue. If you're leaning into some pseudo-spirituality that's based around your skin color and how special you are, you're part of a hierarchical structure. Period.
What? Okay, I know this is the wrong word, but what's the etymology of that word?
Of Palladian?
Yes.
I don't know the etymology of the word Palladian.
Because if the Scientologist invented that word, mm-hmm. or L. Ron Hubbard...
Oh, this isn't Scientology, is the thing. This is separate from Scientology. It just also sounds exactly like Scientology.
I feel like this is a person you can play in Dungeons right. and Dragons.
Basically, yeah. It's Scientology, but you're allowed to be gay in this one.
This is a Palladian or starseed.
A race of reptilian beings from the Borealis galaxy.
Okay, isn't that a horror movie where the people, the lizard people, this is...
Okay, I just want to throw this out there. My grandpa is part of the 1% of... That's right, 1%. That's a lot of people of the American population that believes that shapeshifting lizard people run our government.
Stop it.
I'm a proud descendant of someone who does believe
that. And I don't want to... I don't want I love any them. Of our listeners, I don't want to belittle or, you know...
A little bit, I do.
I mean, I don't want to make anyone feel stupid because that's a horrible feeling. But I want to come from a place of just education, mm-hmm. and I'm asking these questions maybe with a patronizing tone.
Well, that it's hard not to have.
Especially when you look at Wikipedia, because here it's like, not to interrupt you, but it's like the first thing that comes up is Palladian as fictional characters or a fictional universe. Mm-hmm. Or a fictional secret society. It's in a bunch of games. Mm-hmm. There's a
games!
Book...
Dungeons and Dragons!
Yes.
Yeah, but if
there's a book called The Palladian.
Mm-hmm.
And you rarely... Hold on.
I mean, am I thinking Paladin?
Back to Scientology. L. Ron Hubbard was part of secret societies. He was part of one of Aleister Crowley's groups in California, where he would go out into the middle of the desert and... parent advisory, masturbate furiously onto rocks, and then collect information about these groups so he could start writing novels. And this is where he said, not star once, not people? Twice, but several times, that it would be very easy to make a religion.
Indigo children.
Indigo children.
Yeah, in the desert.
I just cannot stress this enough, and I don't mean to... yuck anyone's yum about how they feel about themselves. We are all human beings.
Alien-human
hybrids. You are not special in being a human being. You, too, are just as human as the people you surround yourself with, regardless of their beliefs. You are special as an individual.
Oh my god, this started in 1976.
Yeah, of course it
did. That sounds, yeah,
because
the 70s.
That's when these bad fucking movies came out. But, like, if something is telling you that you're super special, that you have this, like, gift to give to the world, that thing is manipulating you. You do have a gift to give to the world. That's for you to figure out, and it's probably not going to be some grand alien plan. But just, like, take a step back. Research what you're believing.
Oh, correction. So it's an open... The Pleiadians are an open star cluster...
Pleiades.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in, those are stars in the galaxy. Mm-hmm. Yes.
The origin of the name comes from the ancient Greek, I can't pronounce this, mm-hmm. and it derives from plein to sail, and cluster. So a sail cluster, and there's a bunch of folklore and mythology about different gods and goddesses that work with it. It's in the... And then, I love this, you scroll all the way down, they talk about the cluster, and then they talk about 1978 and how people started associating themselves.
So that's, I guess that's my question, like, why don't these people just look at the word? Where did it come from?
Because people are desperate to believe they are special and above the person sitting next to them in some way. Because we all have a desperation at the end of the day to feel like we are greater than the thing we are a part of.
Oh
hey
my god,
Kathleen,
it was stunning.
I'm atheist. I am so cool.
Oh my god, atheist, Catholic, I'm pagan.
Oh my god.
I've been here before all of you.
I don't think so. I mean, if nothingness.
I think I have. I've been like in the trees, in the earth. I mean, like, I'm so old.
That's really cute. And it's so nice to see you two at my table because I really love sharing more than anything in the world. And I'm not at all absolutely livid about seeing you two here. And it's totally fine that you're here. And I absolutely love that I'm not going to salt the earth and burn the trees and rip down your...
I'm just totally gonna dismiss your feelings because I don't believe in anything. You actually don't even exist.
And actually, you're like a concept of me because I kind of came first. And like, let's be real, Jesus is totally Mithras and Dionysus.
Okay, speaking of Jesus, is now...
I think now's a good time, but first I want to talk about Brad Steiger, who started the Starseed real quick.
Brad Steiger!
You got me on this kick. Can we talk about how he started off as a...
Was he a smoothie maker?
Or a writer.
Oh my god, thank you.
He's a writer.
Author.
Of course he's an author.
Works on paranormal spirituality, UFOs, true crime, and true crime.
Oh, he does true crime?
Oh, he does true crime.
And you know what? The thing about it is the people that start these fucking religions are really good writers, so check out their work. Because, like, Hubbard, he did some good work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And while his books generally sold well, he is criticized by scholars and academics.
Oh, yeah.
Lack of scientific evidence and failure to cite sources.
You know that thing in college you learn, like, the APA format?
Right, when you learn how
to... You have to do footnotes and...
Because you read.
Yeah.
Because you have to read other things to form your ideas.
Famous anthropologist Bonita Freeman gave Steiger's Medicine Power an entirely negative review. She noted that Steiger failed to cite scholarly sources, gave faulty documentation, and his reporting of mythology was vastly inaccurate.
Thank you, Bonita Freeman.
Yeah. She... concluded that it was a disappointing work not to use the scholars and use as little use of little to a person sincerely interested in American Indian spirituality. He's been accused of cultural appropriation, racism.
Especially racism.
Yeah.
Just given what I read.
Apparently he wrote a book on werewolves, but once again, there was no historical evidence or... And here's the thing, even werewolves, like, if you write a book on mythology, cite your fucking sources.
Right.
Or,
you know,
It's fiction.
Or it's fiction.
Or it's fiction. Right. But don't write a book, the history of the werewolf.
Right.
Because
you're
going to want to know the lore.
You're going to cite some sources. Yes. There's still sources about lore.
And you know what? I always hate... Okay, so there are, real quick, there are books on mythology that I do hate because they'll be like, in Scandinavia, the though is called the. But they won't tell you, like, how you can find that or what books to read about that or how they sourced that.
How they even heard about it.
How they heard... Right. Were they in Scandinavia?
Right.
Did they talk to little... Petra?
little Petra with her cows out on the field.
But now, drum roll.
I'm ready for this. This was hinted at.
Brienne has some amazing things to share with us.
One thing.
She has one thing. Get closer to the mic.
So.
Tell everyone.
As you have surmised throughout these episodes, I am not very astute student of religion or anything, and about a year ago I asked my spouse if Jesus and Christ were the same person, and I was very serious.
Ivy's face.
I like it.
I love it because
I don't know. It was like I wasn't sure if Christ was his last name or...
You know what? It's not a bad question if you haven't been indoctrinated into it, because there's the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, so he could be any one of those.
Okay.
Oh, she didn't know.
Oh, okay. So
Hold on. I need to digest this a little bit, and then maybe I'll ask a question next episode. Yes, but that's one of my most... One of my embarrassing moments, but I'm not ashamed.
No, I appreciate it.
I think, you know, my husband grew up Catholic and went to Catholic school and church and all of that, so I felt vulnerable enough to ask him that question, but...
The Catholic questions.
He had to take a step back and wasn't sure how to respond, because... Yeah, I guess I was just really confused. Sometimes they say Christ, sometimes they say Jesus, and sometimes he looks different.
But I can understand because, when you are like, Jesus Christ, it's kind of the same as so many people, like in Miami, a lot of people say Mary and Joseph.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, Mother Mary Joseph.
Yeah. So I totally understand. And I would say leaving with the wisdom of the Hierophant, and then maybe if you want to hand tarot cards so we can do like a little card of the day or card of the week. Leaving with the Hierophant, don't subjugate yourself to, like, don't feel that you have to be structured or live within this dogmatic, like, spirituality is vast.
Right.
And it also, means different things, sorry to interrupt, different things to different people, and maybe you can ask me that question about spirituality and witchcraft.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, for another time.
Yeah, spirituality's a lot. Also, maybe you're the dogmatic one sometimes.
Yeah.
Try not to form your own cult.
Ooh, there we go.
Some of us are very capable of forming our own cults of personality. Some of us are very charismatic. Watch yourself, watch your power. We're all capable of doing some horrible fucking things.
And Catholicism, would you like to pick a card?
I would love to pick a card, even though these are blasphemous. And I'll be removing your hands later. Lord of Knives.
Lord of Knives. Okay, this is the Knight of Swords. Ooh. Right on into the bullshit. Put on that armor. Remove things that no longer serve you.
Right.
Fight for what you want.
Yeah. Get out of your cult.
Get out of your cult. Get out of your cult.
Sometimes your cult can be a group. That's
yes.
Not religious.
Woo! So real quick, I just want to say we are doing a voodoo class. So the Old World Emporium has a voodoo class hosted by the wonderful Bloody Mary. It is 3 p.m.
Central
time. And she is live streaming from NOLA, New Orleans, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. She'll be talking about voodoo. She'll be giving tips, tricks, talking about the wonderful Marie Laveau. So definitely check that out. Follow our store at the Old World Emporium on Instagram. please like, subscribe, and if you can leave a comment on iTunes talking about how much you enjoyed this podcast.
How fantastic
we are. How fantastic we are. We would appreciate that. Also, you know that we do not, our goal is not to offend anyone. This is just a table conversation. There we go. And please follow. So once again, your hosts are Mystic Dylan. You can follow me on Instagram at Mystic Dylan Official. You can book a reading with me through the oldworldemporium.com or mysticdylan.com.
Mm-hmm. You can find me at Neat Sword on Instagram or at Neat Sword on Twitter. Please feel free to reach out to me with any questions.
And I'm at McBizzleB on Instagram. And yeah, say hi.
Yeah.
And you can drop me those little bits of information about your organized religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Induct us into your cult. All right.
So with that said, have a magical day. And remember, life's a witch.
And so are you.
Bye.